All right, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us as we get towards the end of day one here. Happy to introduce our next company, Antares Pharma, a very nice, both a specialty pharma platform for auto injection, but also developing some interesting wholly owned products, including one marketed drug, Atrexup for RA. Joining us from Antares, we have Eamon Hobbs, CEO, and that I'll turn it over to Eamon.
Thank you, Akiva, and thanks, everybody, for your interest in Antares. I would encourage you to review our safe harbor statement. Well, a lot's been going on at Antares. We've increased the number of unique prescribers of Atrexup to approximately 1,000 physicians at the end of the third quarter, and that compares very favorable to 600 physicians at the end of the second quarter, according to Symphony Health. We've generated over 9,000 prescriptions through the end of September, with the total number of prescriptions in the third quarter increasing approximately 80% over the second quarter. We reported total revenues of $6.6 million for the third quarter of 2014 and $18.1 million year-to-date. Net sales of Otrexup based on patient prescriptions were $2.6 million for the third quarter and $4.5 million year-to-date. In the first 9 months of 2014, the company shipped $6.4 million of dollars of Otrexup to wholesalers. We ended the third quarter with $48.1 million in cash and investments and no debt. And we announced some very important news for our quick-shot testosterone program. We announced that the first and last patients were enrolled in a double-blind, multiple-dose Phase 3 study designed to evaluate the efficacy and safety of quick-shot testosterone in adult males with testosterone deficiency. The enrollment period lasted 3 months and was completed 3 months ahead of schedule. An overview of Antares is two major businesses. We have an alliance business where we partner with large pharma, including Teva, Ferring, Actavis, JCR, Meta, and Pfizer. We work very closely with our partners to optimize both the auto-injector platforms or gel platforms and optimize the formulations with those products to create a combination product that has a bio-better story or is hopefully an AB-rateable generic. We also have added, with the introduction of our first branded product, a direct product business with February's introduction of Otrexup, a once-a-week subcutaneous methotrexate for the treatment of rheumatoid arthritis. We also have a partnership with Leo for the dermatology aspect of that product. And we have a very robust pipeline for the branded products business. Antares Pharma's 505B2 growth engine is to identify unmet patient needs, combine technology with known molecules, and ultimately to create a specialty target segment with differentiated products. We combine these three things into a much better overall product. We have a very interesting risk profile with our multiple businesses, and we also have a very broad range of device platforms, including needle-free, MediJect, which we are using in Otrexup and our Vibex QST program, and multi-dose pens. Currently, we have two collaborations with Teva, Pen 1 and Pen 2, which we'll talk a little more about later. A robust pipeline, starting off with Otrexup, which is on the market and has enjoyed a very successful launch so far. We have a number of developments with Teva. The most currently active project is the EpiPen. We believe Teva will file the amendment to the ANDA this month. They've stated that. And we believe that this will be the first, pending FDA approval, AB-rated epinephrine auto-injector in the United States. We have many projects with our partner Teva, Penn 1 and Penn 2. The Penn 2, we recently announced that the ANDA for that product was accepted and the innovator notified. We expect that once the innovator takes action on that ANDA filing, we will be able to disclose what that collaboration is. Penn 1 is a B2 development with Teva that we anticipate will first be filed in Europe. We also have made an announcement in the summer that we filed our ANDA for another collaboration with Teva on sumatriptan. That is a 50-50 profit split with Teva. And we recently announced an alliance partnership that's undisclosed that is for a life cycle extension. Last but not least, we have a branded over-the-counter gel product development in collaboration with Pfizer. Some details on Otrexup. Otrexup is a single-use, disposable, easy-to-use, once-a-week subcutaneous methotrexate. It has a number of features, including a fine-gauge needle that patients don't see before, during, or after the injection. It has a lockable needle guard. It's very fast and easy to use. It delivers a very consistent dose and is available in the most popular dosages of 7.5, 10, 15, 20, and 25 milligrams. This is a BioBetter story in that compared to the gold standard of oral methotrexate, our clinical data showed that we have significantly better bioavailability at 15 milligrams and above compared to oral dose. As I mentioned earlier, we are partnered with Leo Pharma for the dermatology marketplace, and Leo and the dermatology marketplace represents approximately 10% of our scripts to date. The Otrexup launch is trending very nicely, and we do have a competitor that entered the market very recently, and the competitor is Rasuvo, and we have put Rasuvo on here, assuming a launch timing synonymous with our launch. On a four-week rolling total basis, you can see that Otrexup is trending very nicely. And the only thing I'd add for the Otrexup launch is that on a scripts per week per rep basis, which is one of the metrics we use routinely, we're actually trending better than any recent RA product launch. So we are planning to expand our sales force from 25 to 32 territories, and that follows the integration of the current Quintiles CSO that we're using, which we believe will be completed by the 1st of January. Quick Shot Testosterone will be the first testosterone auto-injector for subcutaneous treatment of low testosterone. It's a single-use disposable quick shot device engineered to deliver high-viscosity products through a very fine needle, 27-gauge with 1 ml capacity. It's designed to be quick, easy, and painless, 5 seconds or less to inject. Once a week administration. Many untreated low T patients in the U.S., very big market, very attractive to us. The largest growing or largest segment and fastest growing segment being the parenteral intramuscular injection segment. We have a projected launch in the first half of 2017. As you can see, the market for injectable testosterone continues to grow. It's at a compound annual growth rate of approximately 40%. And we believe Antares is well positioned to take advantage of the injectables growth segment with this product. Looking at the data, we have a completed phase 2 trial. QST was dosed at 50 milligrams and 100 milligrams, 6 weekly doses. PK measurements were taken, and additional 4 week sampling following the 6th dose. Standard PK endpoints plus estimates supported an approvable exposure profile. The phase 2 included 29 adult males with low T. At 1 week, both doses produced normal mean testosterone concentrations at 24 hours post-dose. During week 6, the 50 milligram and 100 milligram groups had average plasma testosterone levels within the normal range. The study demonstrated rapid restoration and consistent maintenance of steady testosterone blood levels with a once-weekly subcutaneous injection using the QuickShot device. And here's a graphic representation of the normal range for testosterone with the red bars. And as you can see, both doses had very narrow peak-to-trough ratios and a very compelling PK profile. This gave us confidence to pursue a phase 3 trial, and we met with FDA in early May of this year, 2014, to discuss the phase 3. It was determined we would run a 150 adult men trial, and we added an additional dose to the 50 and 100 milligrams. Patients meeting the eligibility criteria were assigned a starting dose for once weekly for 6 weeks. Adjustments to the dose could be made at week 7 based on week 6 pre-dose blood level. The efficacy of QST and dose adjustment to regulate T levels are evaluated at 12 weeks. And upon completion of that phase, patients can remain on their optimized dose for an additional 40 weeks. And after the PK is established, approximately 100 patients will be needed to complete a 26 weeks of safety data, and approximately 50 patients will be needed to complete 52 weeks of safety data. So this is a double-blind, multi-dose phase 3 study to evaluate the safety and efficacy of QST, and we enrolled it 3 months ahead of schedule. Our top-line PK data is due in the first half of 2015, and this would give us a potential for approval and launch in early 17. Antares and Teva have a very long and broad collaboration. We have multiple agreements for diverse products with nearly $3 billion in U.S. sales. The first is Tevtropin, T-Jet, a needle-free injection system for human growth hormone. We have two Vibex auto-injector single-shot disposable products, Epi, which we talked about, a Vibex pen filled with epinephrine. As I mentioned earlier, Teva's announced that they plan to file their amendment to the ANDA in this month, December. And we believe this will be the first, upon FDA approval, AB-rated generic. We also have a Vibex sumatriptan. And we have U.S. rights. The end is on file. We've received an upfront cash payment and a milestone payment's due on launch with a 50-50 profit split. We have two pen injectors, which we talked about earlier, Pen 1 and Pen 2. Pen 2 we hope to disclose very soon. Well, looking forward for the next 12 to 18 months, a lot is expected. We expect to complete the Phase 3 QuickShot testosterone clinical study. We expect to ship pre-launch quantities of Vibex epinephrine auto-injectors to Teva for pipeline filling prior to launch. We expect to commence QuickShot M clinical studies, another pipeline product. The two Teva pen programs, we expect to file the Pen 1 in Europe and to very soon disclose the product associated with the recently filed Pen 2. Tevtropin 10 milligram needle-free approval and launch to add to the 5 milligram that's currently on the market. And we are planning to add 3 more pipeline projects to drive shareholder value. So with that, I'd like to thank you for your attention and open this up to questions.
Right. Thank you so much, Eamon. Maybe to start on Atrexup, and you know, I think soon after you transitioned into the CEO spot earlier this year, there were a couple initiatives, I think, with regards to the overall marketing message and also on the copay front. And you know, as you think about going forward, expanding the sales territories, maybe if you could talk about any impacts you've seen from the initiatives earlier this year.
Well, thanks, Akiva. The launch started in February, and we have been making multiple small tweaks to the launch, and the two you've mentioned are tweaking the messaging. We started out with a messaging and positioning of the product that was along the lines of the greater bioavailability, which our label supports. And we transitioned that into a more focused efficacy message that received a lot more traction from the commercial group and from prescribers. In addition, we tweaked the copay program in August. We had originally started out with a copay assistance program that bought the copay down to $10 with a maximum of $75. And we changed that to a buy down to a zero copay with a maximum of $125. This really balances favorably against the copay assistance programs that are in place for the biologics. The tweaking that we've done has definitely been well received. The 2 weeks ago, we had the American College of, or attended the American College of Rheumatology in Boston, and got to speak to a number of rheumatologists who have been using the product since its launch, and we feel that we're on the right track. We're going to continue to tweak. We're going to continue to, as I mentioned, enhance the sales force, both in numbers and in by integrating them into Antares employees. And that's all happening as we speak.
Great. And shifting to the testosterone product, you discussed the growth in the testosterone space over the last several years. I mean, I think obviously this year you've seen some changes in thought, both maybe on the regulatory side and just in the the general physician side on the applicability for a lot of patients going forward. And maybe if you could kind of describe the difference between where the topical market is going and where the injectable market is going.
Well, a lot has happened over the last few months in the testosterone space. I think the best way to tackle that question is to relate some of the learnings we had, and I personally had, by attending the recent two ADCOM meetings held by FDA, one about the class the first day and the second, the first oral dose, Claris presented their data. Going into the meeting, there were many open questions concerning the potential for cardiovascular risk. A number of lay press articles had come out raising the question whether cardiovascular risk had, was increased by testosterone replacement therapy. And during the first day, the panel was presented with a large amount of data, both by experts in the field and by FDA staffers presenting the FDA's own database. And it was very enlightening from a number of perspectives. First being that It was pretty clear that, to me at least, that FDA was concerned that testosterone may be overprescribed in that from the FDA's perspective and their database, there was no evidence of patients being worked up for demonstrated low testosterone in 22% of the cases. The other key takeaway from the FDA's presentation of their database was that there was no demonstration of increased cardiovascular risk. And in fact, there seemed to be, or there was, a trend towards cardioprotective effect of testosterone. So factoring that into where FDA seemed to be focusing their concerns, it seemed that FDA was questioning whether the increased concern over cardiovascular risk being increased was valid or whether it was due to one study in particular that was published in the New England Journal. And after the panel opined on all of the data, they recommended to FDA or concluded to FDA that the evidence to demonstrate increased cardiovascular risk was weak and that the more compelling evidence was likely that there was no increased risk and perhaps even a cardioprotective effect. They also recommended to the agency that additional safety studies be conducted. The agency asked the panel a significant number of questions about how those studies could be conducted. The net-net of that first day meeting was it seemed likely that the agency may adjust the class labeling for testosterone with regard to recommendations, more specific recommendations on working patients up properly before prescribing testosterone. They might add more specific labeling to state that the efficacy of testosterone replacement therapy had not been demonstrated in various patient populations, including age-related low testosterone levels. But we came away from that thinking that we were very well positioned in that a once-a-week subcutaneous testosterone would not raise additional concerns with the agency about overprescription. We heard the agency discuss their feeling that parenteral administration, as demonstrated by the continued growth in the intramuscular injection segment of the testosterone replacement therapy market, continuing to grow, was a likely sign that if patients were willing to subject themselves to a very painful injection, that they must be getting some significant benefit out of it to balance that. So inherently, parenteral injections are somewhat self-regulating. So the quick-shot testosterone product, from the perspective of the smoke clearing after the class panel, was I thought we were very well positioned, and that our product was not going to raise additional concerns above and beyond any previously raised by the agency in our clinical trial designs, which we've incorporated answers to. The second day was the first oral dose presented to the agency, and it was clear to me that the agency was very concerned about oral dose potentially accelerating overuse of testosterone, in that an oral dose would be an even easier administration modality compared to intramuscular injection and topical gels. The challenges that oral doses face testosterone oral dose being lipid-soluble were outlined by the agency and convinced me that I wouldn't want to trade with the oral dose developers in that the impact of lipid in the diet can have a profound effect on bioavailability of the drug. So the net effect was if we can show a similar PK profile that we showed in our phase 2 trial, in our phase 3 trial, I think we're going to have a very compelling story compared to both intramuscular and oral dose and topical gels.
Okay, no, that's very helpful. Maybe just to round things out, discussing the market opportunity for a generic EpiPen, the difference if it's AB rated or non AB rated, and what if you could remind us again the economics for Antares.
Well, we anticipate that there's a large difference between an AB rated EpiPen generic and a non AB rated EpiPen. We believe that the co-development we have with Teva is AB rateable, and hope that FDA agrees. The economics for Antares are a high single-digit royalty plus device sales, which equates approximately to what would be a low double-digit royalty to Antares. The market size for the EpiPen is approximately $1.3 billion with additional price increases anticipated before any generic launch. So if an AB-rated EpiPen enters the market, Mylan has disclosed that they could lose up to 40% market share to that product. So with that, that would equate to a very, very significant revenue generator for Antares, and we're very excited about those prospects.
Great. Well, Eamon, thanks again for sharing your time with us today, and appreciate the presentation.
Thank you.